Welcome to this sermon from Christ Church. Have your Bible ready, and let's begin.
You can be seated now. And would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Father, we thank you for the joy that it is to worship together. Lord, to just remind ourselves that power does belong to you, and that power is not to destroy us, although no one would blame you. No one would question that. But Lord, you have power today to set us free from the things that keep us away from you. You have power, Lord. You're already working on the things that we're worried about. Lord, your power is to overcome sin and death and evil. And you did that. You established that through the cross. And we thank you for that. And now today, Father, could we just be strengthened by your power? Could we be renewed by your presence? Could we be directed by your Spirit? Could we be transformed in your presence? Would you bless our church? Bless these good people, Lord. We ask this in the great name of Jesus. Amen. Man, it's good to be with you this morning. I want to, before I get in the message today, I want to share with you, I want you to know, church, that you are making a difference in our communities. We had our Food for Kids program that is kicking off this coming week, which I think there's a packing meeting on Monday if you're in that. Quick shout out for that. But anyway, one of the principals of the school, when she heard we were gearing back up, she wrote this email. She said, "Oh my gosh, Pam," that's the lady she was writing it to, "I have tears in my eyes. Thank you," all caps. Now, unless you're like my dad who has all caps on every text message, you know, she's really appreciative. Like, why is he always yelling at me in text? Just all caps. But anyway, she said, "We have so many kids in need this year. The grant funding was cut significantly in regards to the bags that Second Harvest is able to provide our kids. I was so worried we wouldn't be able to help everyone out. You and your congregation are a true blessing and our students' guardian angels. Thank you so very much." That's you, church. And our goal is to just keep feeding as many kids through this program as we can. We're just getting started. Our goal is to feed every kid that needs it. But thank you. You're making a difference. And I'm proud to be a part of a church like you. So thanks, Dave. So yeah, give yourself one more round of applause. And today, like I said, we are beginning this sermon series in Ephesians, and I'm excited about it. If you've never read the book of Ephesians, then I would encourage you while we're going through this to maybe read it during the week. You could just read one chapter. It's only six chapters, so you'll be done by next Sunday. You'll know everything that I'm going to talk about, so it would be a really good thing. But today we're going to begin that. But to get us started, would you just look at the person next to you? But would you give them a real mean look? Furrow your brow. Just give them just dog them right now. And then I want you to say this. Say, "What world are you living in?" What world are you living in? Now, since I'm a pastor and I believe in reconciliation, you can say you're sorry. Say, "Chet made me do it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it." But what world are you living in? Have you ever had a conversation with someone and you looked at them and you didn't say it out loud, but you thought, "What world is this person living in?" You can be honest this morning. It's church. We don't have to lie. I'm going to borrow that. What world? And maybe, have you ever said that out loud to someone? Come on, let's come clean. Have you just said, "What world are you living in?" And you got to say it like that. You know, you got to get real nasty with your inflection. And now I know that this is such a sanctified and holy group of people that you have never said that or thought that about your spouse. I know your marriages are too perfect for that. Your relationships are too in sync. But church, if I'm going to be honest with you, me and Allie say that to each other about once every 3 days. And it's such a weird thing, because isn't it amazing how two people can leave the same conversation and arrive at entirely different conclusions? And many times, I'll say to Allie, I'll say, babe, when you say this, it made me think this. Can't you see how I could think that? And she says, no. And I say, what world are you living in? Because we're not both on planet Earth. One of us has arrived somewhere else. And this is a frustrating thing at times. It's hard to get back into the same planet together. And the great Apostle Paul, he's going to ask us essentially that same question. He's going to say, what world are you living in? Because what Paul is going to show us today is that although we live in this world, the world where we wake up, we go to work, we drink coffee, we pay bills, we pick the kids up, we drop them off, we do it 17 times and it's Tuesday, we cut the grass, all that we know and experience. But Paul says, yeah, that is a world you live in. But he said, but there's another world that we're supposed to attach to even more. And that world is meant to shape our experience of this world. You with me? And so Paul's going to say to us today, what world are we living in? And we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to see him paint this picture for us. So Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 3. I'm going to read this. I want you to see the whole context of this passage, and then I'm going to just dial it back to one verse. So the whole context, and then we'll go back to one verse. But here's what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ with, say it with me, every spiritual blessing. How many blessings have we been blessed with? One, two, no, Paul says all of them. All of them. Every spiritual blessings in the, and say this with me, heavenly places. That's where it gets tricky. Every blessing Christ has blessed you and me with, but the problem is they're in the heavenly places. It's not your bank account. It's not your dream vacation home in Maui, but it's in the heavenly places. And then now he's going to explain what some of these blessings are. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. What is one of these spiritual blessings? That God looked and he chose you. That he said, I want this person. And all the angels are like, really? Lord, I think you can do better. And he said, no, I want them. He chose you that you would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us. That means he cut out boundaries in our lives that we would be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of will. To the praise of his glorious grace with which he's blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood. That our relationship with God is good. Not because you've made it good or I've made it good, but because Christ has made it good. That someone had to pay and it wasn't you. It was Christ. And he's brought us back to God through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he's lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. As a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we've obtained an inheritance. God has written you into his will. That's pretty cool. God has a future for you. Having predestined us according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. What that means is that when you gave your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit sealed himself to you. What that means is God will never abandon you. He's sealed. It's a done deal. You can go run off and be an idiot. Guess what? God is still with you. You can turn your back on him. Guess what? He's still with you. That's a pretty good deal. I'll take that to the bank any day of the week. Amen? He's the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire a possession of it to the praise of his glory. And so Paul says, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Everyone. And what's so interesting about this is that when I read this verse, I see Paul's excitement, don't you? I mean, he's talking about being lavish with this. He's talking about all this incredible grace coming our way, all this kind of thing. But then when I live life, I don't always feel every spiritual blessing. How about you? Sometimes I feel just the frustration of people. I feel the pressure of finances. I feel the pain of loss. And what Paul is saying is he's saying there's these two worlds that are at work. There's the heavenly world and there's the world we live in. And Paul is saying that I want you to get more and more connected, not where you are, but to where you're going, and let that world begin to shape this world. You with me on this? And Paul's saying, I want you to know all that you have. And I think that the challenge of this is that we get so focused on this world that we miss the importance of the world Paul's talking about, and we become robbed of its blessing. You with me on this, church? You can amen me this morning. It's not gonna, you're not gonna spontaneously combust. You'll live. We get so focused on that we miss this. And the reality is I think we're always trying to really find our blessing in this world. We're trying to find our identity. We're trying to find our happiness. We're trying to find our purpose. And although there are those things here, they're not ultimately to be the source of them. You with me on this, church? But those things we're meant to find somewhere else. And it's what Paul is talking about in this passage. So today, what world are you living in? What world are you being influenced by the most? Because whatever world we get attached to the most, it's the world that we end up conforming our standards to. So Paul says, I want you to know, in the heavenly places, you are blessed. You have everything and more you could ever ask. And is that the place where I am drawing my strength? Or am I letting the pain and the frustration and the struggle of this world take all that away, what Christ has done for me? You with me on this, church? Can we get the lights on in the back a little bit? I don't want people falling asleep on me. We get shaped by whatever world we are most attached to. And let me talk to you about how. Number one, we get shaped by the perspective of the world that we're most connecting to. So sometimes my perspective gets off. How about yours? And perspective is such a powerful thing. I was reminded about that this week. I'm just privileged, man, just to work with some awesome people at this church. We have an amazing woman on staff, Sarah Berger. She is just incredible. Yeah, she deserves that and more. And we were talking, and I was talking to her, and I was talking about something I have to do at the church, like one of my responsibilities, and I said, Sarah, like, this is, when I lead these meetings, it's pointless. That's what I said. I feel like it's just pointless for me to be in this role. I feel like it, you know, there's just no point. I just kind of kept circling back to that. And she said to me, well, if you think it's pointless, it will be. It's like, man, she got me good there. So true. What was she saying? She was saying, well, what's your perspective? Right? If you think it's pointless, it will be. Right? How many times we say, well, I'm not going to talk to that person. It's pointless. They're not going to hear me. So I'll just talk about them. Well, is it really pointless? Maybe if you think it is, it will be, right? But if you have a different perspective, maybe it's not. Maybe something actually can change. And the great Apostle Paul, what I love about this is where he is writing this letter from is in the midst of a jail cell. But yet, when you read that letter, this guy does not seem down and out, does he? He's saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every blessing in the heavenly places. And then here is Paul sitting in a jail cell talking about how blessed he is. If I'm sitting in a jail cell, I'm not talking about that. I'm kicking the walls. I'm shanking my celly. I'm just kidding. I'm not doing that. I've seen a lot of prison TV shows. just making sure you're still with me. I'm not talking about how blessed I am, though I can tell you that. But Paul does. Why? Because his perspective was shaped by another world. His perspective wasn't shaped by the walls around him, but it was shaped by the Christ who had called him his own. You with me on this? And sometimes, church, we are letting our perspective be shaped so much by this world instead of allowing it to be shaped by this great God who loves you, who's blessed you already, and who has a future awaiting you. And so whatever world we're most attached to will shape our perspective. The more attached to this world I get, the more that hope gets out of me. Because I just looked at everything that's messed up. And it drains me of it. But when we begin to look at Christ and who he is and what he can do, it changes how we see what's in front of us. You with me on this, church? What world are you living in? Tell your neighbor again, what world are you living in? Be a little nicer this time. What world are you living in? What is shaping your perspective? Here's the other thing. It also shapes our values. Whatever world we are most connected to, it shapes our values. I was talking to a friend from a long time ago. He had been a part of our church probably decades ago. And we kind of had a good connection, and he saw something on Facebook that we were doing, and he sent me a nice encouraging note. He said, man, you know, I see God's using you and using the church. It was just real nice to hear from him. And I'd kind of lost touch with him, so I said, hey, what are you doing? Like, where are you at now? Because I know he's kind of moved around and such. And he just wrote back. I said, you know, what are you doing? And he said, serving the King. That was it. And it kind of gave me like a little adrenaline rush. I was like, that's a cool response. You're not excited about it. But I thought it was cool. Serving the King. What am I doing? I'm serving the King. Wherever I go, when I was in Cleveland, I was serving the King. Now I'm in Washington, I'm serving the King. He didn't say, well, Chad, what I'm actually doing is I have two jobs. One, I work Tuesdays and Thursdays from 4 to 5:30, and no, he just said, I'm serving the King. That is what I'm doing. And I thought that was cool. That gave a different perspective and value to me. And then I was talking to a guy at our church, Luke Ameline. He's young, just graduated college. And the other day he was talking to me, and we were talking about getting ready for our launch last week and just talking about serving. And Luke, he looked at me and he said, Sundays are God's. That's what he said to me. He's like 22. What were Sundays for you when you were 22? Recovery. Hydration. I know your past. Don't put that front on me, right? Well, he said, Sundays are God's. He said, I just know that I'm going to spend my Sunday serving God. His values are being shaped by a different world. You with me on this? What are your values being shaped by? How many times are we giving so much of ourselves to things that we should be given to God? Right? Sometimes we're more committed to Baker Mayfield than Jesus. And Baker Mayfield, I like the guy, don't get me wrong, but he didn't die for you. And he's going to need all the prayers that you can muster today. He's going to need Jesus more than he knows. But sometimes, church, what are our values really being shaped by? You with me on this? Are we spending our lives serving the King? Are we giving God his due? Or are we allowing the values of another world, a less important world, to shape what we really value and what we teach other people to value? I grew up playing sports. I love sports. I still like to watch sports. I think every sermon I talk about the Browns at some point. I love it. And sports are a great thing. And we can be so committed to helping our kids have great athletic experiences. But church, can I ask you, are we equally as committed to developing their faith? We care about their bodies. We care, and that's good. I'm not saying that's bad. But I'm saying their faith is far more important than their skills. Their faith, and are we as committed to that? Are we showing them the values that we believe to be true? Son, daughter, in this family, we serve God. You can decide how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. You just tell me where and when. This is an optional. This is who we are. This is what we believe is important. This is part of what it means to live this life well. Because at the end of the day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And all the time and energy that we have given to him, we will look as the best investments of our life. What world are we living in, church? You won't regret an ounce of effort you've given to God. But I do fear we will regret time we've given other places in place of time to God, in place of energy to God, in place of opportunity. It shapes our values, the world that we're living in. It also shapes what we're after, what we pursue. The great Apostle Paul, he was a driven dude. If you know his story, some of you may know it. He was driven. He wanted to be at the top. Now, his world was the religious world. So he was trying to, you know, be on the CEO, CFO fast track of ancient Judaism. That was his thing. And he was doing pretty good at that. And he was making progress. And he wasn't afraid to run people over in pursuit of that. But then one day, he met Christ. And guess what? The rat race ended. And he said, all of that, he said one time, all of that I count as loss in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. All that stuff I was after, I count it as loss in comparison to knowing Christ. And Paul said, my pursuit's different now. I'm not chasing a resume. I'm not chasing position. I'm not chasing power. I'm chasing Christ. Because here's what Paul says. You don't have to seek blessing. You don't have to live for blessing. We can live from blessing. It's all happened already. Every spiritual blessing, it's not coming, it's there. You're not going to kind of stand before God and God's going to weigh you out and say, did you make the cut? No, you're already there. Every blessing has been given through Jesus Christ. And now we can live from that. So what are we pursuing today? That validation that you want from someone in your life, you already have from your Heavenly Father. Maybe your dad didn't give it to you. But guess what? Your Heavenly Father has given it to you. That sense of purpose, we're not going to find it here. But guess what? We have it in Christ. That joy, if I'm looking at this life to be my measure of joy, it's going to be a roller coaster ride. Because when the Browns win, I feel great. Monday night, I hate life. And this afternoon, we'll see what happens. But it's a roller coaster. But what Paul says is in Christ, I have a joy and a happiness that can endure the cycles and the ups and downs of life. And so what are you pursuing this morning? What do we think more of is going to finally satisfy us? Are we looking for it in people? Is it, just on one relationship to the next, because we're so hungry for that blessing? But here's what Paul is saying. You already have it. But you're not going to find it in this world. You're going to find it in Christ. So pursue Christ. Pursue Him. Because if you pursue Him, you will begin to see blessing all around you. You with me on this, church? But if you pursue all the blessing that you think is out there, but yet you don't pursue Christ, you can have it all and still at the end of the day have nothing at all. And how many times have we been there? This is going to do it. This is going to do it. And it doesn't. Because you are an eternal soul. You are not made for this world. You're made for another world. And only the God of that world can meet the needs of the human heart. You with me on this, church? What are you in pursuit of? What am I in pursuit of? What world are we living in? And here is something that is so powerful about this, is that whatever world you live in, you will end up serving that world's God. Whatever world you live in most, you will end up serving that world's God. And church, I think too many times in my life, I've served the God of success. I've served the God of people's opinions. I've served the God of my own appetites, my own desires for fun or pleasure or whatever. I've served the gods of sports. I've served all these other gods. But those are the gods of this world. The God of the heavenly places is Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, He's the real God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the one who created all things and through all things hold together. He's the God that deserves your life. He's the God that deserves your worship. And Paul said these blessings, they're only to be found in Christ. And I know in our world, we want to be so sensitive about that. Say, oh man, you can't say that the blessings of God are only in Christ. Well, what if I want to find them in Muhammad? What if I want to find them in Deepak Chopra? What if I want to find them in something else? But here's what Paul is saying. It's not insensitive to say that the blessings of God are found only in Christ. It's not insensitive if it's true. If you ask me, Chet, where is Dairy Queen? And I say, go out the doors, pick whatever direction you believe in most, go in that direction, and you will end up at Dairy Queen. You'll be very mad because you want a blizzard and you might pick that way. But guess what? Dairy Queen's that way. I'm not trying to be insensitive. If you like going that way, that's great, but Dairy Queen's there. And no matter how much you believe it's that way, it's right there. If you want a blizzard, you're going to have to walk a long way till randomly you run into some Dairy Queen or you hit the ocean. I don't know which is going to come first. But Dairy Queen is that way. And here's what Paul is saying to us this morning. You want the blessings of God in your life? They're that way. You might want to go that way. You might want to go that way. You might like that way better. But guess what? The blessings of God are that way. They're with Christ. And when you find Him, you find those blessings. When you pursue Him, you experience the blessings of the next world, and you can bring them into this world. And it can begin to reshape what we experience here. Bow your heads in prayer with me before I get blasted out of here. It's our second week, church. We're still figuring these things out. Actually, would you stand and let's pray together? Today, I want to lead you through a prayer. If you would just bow your heads and close your eyes. For some of us, maybe what I've been talking about just resonates. We've been seeking blessing in the wrong places. We've been looking for it in stuff. We've been looking for it in people. We've been looking for it in relationships. We've been looking for it in our work. And there can be blessings in those, but not the real blessings that our soul needs. And today I want to just give you an opportunity. If you have never committed yourself to Jesus Christ, if you've never opened your life to the blessing that Paul is talking about, to the thing that he wants to give you, to his presence, to his forgiveness, to his redemption, to his reconciliation, to his inheritance, to all that. If you have never made that commitment, but this morning you want to, would you just raise your hand in the air just as a declaration to say, man, I want the blessing of Christ. I want the blessing of Christ. God bless you. 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 And maybe you're in a different stage this morning. Maybe you've known the blessings of Christ, but you've been living in the wrong world and being shaped by it for too long. And it's begin to form you in ways you know aren't good. You've lost sight of your first love. You've lost sight of your passion to serve God. You've lost sight of his importance in your life. You've fallen off the wagon and you feel a little bit lost. But if today you want the blessings of Christ in a new way, if you want Christ himself to fill you and meet you, and you want to just recommit yourself to him, would you just slip your hand up in the air and say, I want him today. I want Christ to renew me. I want Christ to restore me. God bless you. 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 Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for every person in this room. I thank you, Lord, for those who want to commit themselves to you for the first time. Father, you said it's real simple. If we believe in our hearts that you were raised from the dead, that you went to the cross, not to die for sin in general, but to die for my sin, to forgive not other people, but to forgive me. God, we declare that we believe that this morning. You said if we confess with our lips that you are Lord, we will be saved. So, Father, we confess that you're Lord. We give our lives to you. We give our energy and our hope and our purpose to you. We say, ask that you direct us and bless us. And Father, for those of us who just want a recommitment, I pray, Father, that we can have a new energy, a new hope, a new power in our life. We can focus on you in a new way. And we can be renewed by the presence of Christ, by the blessing of Christ. And we would count Christ as more precious than life itself. And we ask that in the great name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.